And we're talking with the fascinating Dolores Cannon. And there's much more to talk with her about. I want to get into some past life regression work she's done as well with people who aren't these new souls. We'll get back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Dolores Cannon. Dolores, it makes sense that these alien implants are put in their own kind, basically, to track them, doesn't it?
But there are other reasons, too, and we found out the reasons for all the transplants.
How come? What they want?
The implants, I mean. Yeah, the one is to find them so you don't know where they are, but other times they have to monitor the energy of the body to make sure how it is, how they are dealing with the energy. But also, if they have any physical problems, some of the implants are like time-released pills, time-released aspirins. You like these to have the contact pills. It is releasing medication into the body over long periods of time to heal the body. And that's why they're in different parts of the body.
Are they?
I know one, Dr. Lear takes these out.
Yes.
But I know one person that had it taken out, and they said for the first time in their life, they got sick. So I'm just telling them if they want them there, they're going to put them back. So they're for a good purpose.
Are they concerned about the direction of this planet?
Oh, definitely. That's what this is all about, why they're doing this. But that's why they are monitoring all of us, because they're very concerned, they have been for many years, with the increase in cancer and the different diseases that we're having.
Yeah.
And they're developing cures for these different diseases. Because, you see, we were supposed to be a perfect people on a perfect, beautiful planet that would never get sick and never die. But there was something that happened way back in the development stage. There was a meteorite that hit the Earth at that time while the species was developing. And for the first time, it introduced bacteria that created disease. And after that, they knew their experiment was ruined. We were called the Grand Experiment. And they had to go back to the council. What do we do now? Do we just call it quits and say this, erase the whole program? Or do we start over again? Or do we let it keep developing, knowing it will never be as perfect as it was supposed to be? And it was decided, because so much work had already been put into it, to let it continue developing it. And so they are still trying to find cures so that we will be the perfect people they intended us to be.
Now, it's not to say, though, that every enlightened person on this planet is one of these volunteers, right? I mean, there could be some nice, pure earthlings, right?
Oh, sure. But it's all for a reason anyway. And people shouldn't worry about it, because you don't know your soul history anyway. It was interesting, that commercial you were just giving about tracking your ancestry.
Yeah.
You said tracking the new souls with that way doesn't work that way, because, see, all you're tracking is the physical body and where it came from, the genetic makeup of the body. You can't track the makeup of the soul to find out where that comes from.
I wish we could.
Only way I found it is just through past life regression.
So generally, these volunteers, which are pure souls, they've not been on the planet before. Once that physical body that they're in dies, what happens to them? Do they come back again? Are they offered the opportunity to come back? What happens?
Well, they don't have to come back, because it's like a one-time thing. I will just volunteer to come and help the Earth right now. That's why they try to keep from accumulating karma, so they don't have to come back. That when they die, they go to the same place we all go. We go to the spirit side. And then they say, well, what do you want to do now? Do you want to go back to the life you were living, or do you want to continue? It's up to them.
Do any of them say, I kind of like that life on good old planet Earth?
Some of them are saying, most of them are saying, I don't want to be here. I want to go home. This isn't home. But they have a lot of advisors on the spirit side, and they help them sort through this whenever they die. When anybody dies, you go through the council, and they do a life review, and you figure out what you're going to do next.
What can you tell us, Dolores, about this council? How many planets are members? Anything like that?
Oh, you're talking about several councils here.
Ah.
There are different kinds. The councils I was talking about is on the spirit side. That's a different
thing. Ah, okay.
And the councils are the other over the planets.
Okay.
On the spirit side, there's a council you go before when you die, and they do a life review and help you decide what you're going to do next. That's when you're in the spirit side. But the other councils, they have councils over planets, councils over solar systems, councils over galaxies, councils over universes. And these councils have very special rules and regulations that you cannot go against. You have to abide by these rules and regulations. That's why I don't find the negativity. In all my years of working with this, I've never found a negative case. Because I said I go into the deep level and we go to what's really happening and you find out the real causes of it. So these councils, some of them I say are councils of nine, some are councils of 12, but they are the ones who make the rules and regulations and make sure that they are abided by.
How do you get on the council? I mean, will we as a planet ever get there?
They want us to. They said we are isolated over here. We're just a little bitty planet. But we're isolated over here in this part of the solar system for a definite reason. They're afraid of us, really.
Why?
We're so violent. They said nobody else does the things we do. So, we don't. People don't kill each other just to kill.
I always thought we were like a prison planet. That all the planets that were Earth-like dumped their horrible people on our planet.
Well, they've said this is the most difficult planet in the universe to live on. Because it's so dense and so heavy, and you come to Earth to learn emotions and limitations, and it's a very difficult planet to learn to live on, but you agree to come here. Nobody forces you. And a lot of times they'll warn you before you're coming in. Are you sure you want to go there?
Try to talk you out of it.
Huh? Yeah, don't you know what it's like there? It's much better on these other planets. But if they insist, no, I want to go and try it out. These are the ones that aren't even volunteers. They just say, I want to try it out and see what it's like.
Well, now here you are. You're enlightened. You're a regressive hypnotherapist. You understand what's going on. How do we know you're not part of the first wave?
I'm not. I'm too old for that.
Well, you are?
Yeah.
How old are you?
Now, you said you're old enough to be part of the first wave.
I'm a baby boomer.
Okay, you're a baby boomer.
So you're older.
I'm a great-great-grandmother.
Well, good for you.
So, I mean, I'm too old to be that.
Okay, so how did someone like you...
I know a lot of my past lives anyway, so I know I'm not one of the first waves.
Okay, anyhow. But you're enlightened. I mean, you are. I've known you for years. You're an enlightened person. How'd you get that?
I don't know. I was busy raising a family and living a normal life when all of this happened in the 1960s. So that's why I've been doing it for 45 years.
What if there's a wave before the first wave?
Well, some people have told me they're in their late 60s and they have some of these characteristics. And we were told there may have been a few, forerunners that came in. But no, I can see through my past lives the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing. So to me, I know I'm not a first wave. I'm just a reporter, an investigator, a researcher of lost knowledge.
Well, you've explained abductions pretty good because, you know, a lot of people can't figure out what's going on. Is government doing it? Are ETs doing it? Are they mean? Who knows what's going on? I could understand them coming back to monitor their own.
Yeah. And taking care of their own because they know how difficult it is to live here.
Now, that doesn't explain the hybrid thing where people...
Well, yes, it does.
How so? That
it
people think
everything.
That, you know, that they're making hybrid babies, for example.
Yeah. But those are not for Earth.
No, they're taking them. Where?
To other planets that need the DNA.
Hmm.
This is one of the reasons they've explained why they're taking the eggs and sperms, because we have developed as a civilization, as a species... The bodies have developed to handle radiation and handle a lot of extreme conditions in the Earth atmosphere.
Are we unique in the universe in terms of being physical?
I wouldn't say so. That's like they said, we're kind of the bottom of the barrel.
Okay, so there's...
But they said we have our bodies have developed to handle conditions that it's effective with our DNA and the eggs and things like that. So they take these to other planets that are experiencing the same conditions but don't have the ability to adapt, and those civilizations could go down. So they're introducing the new DNA, the eggs and the sperms, to help those different species on other planets.
Got an email from a fellow earlier today who wanted you to know that he doesn't believe that there's life after death, that it just ends. What do you tell somebody like that?
I said, I have regressed thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I've not found anybody yet who didn't have a past life and who didn't go to the other side. What does he think he's doing here if he didn't come from somewhere else?
That's exactly what I emailed him back. I said, explain your existence. Is it a fluke? Why are you here? I haven't heard back yet from him on that one.
Because that's what I'm saying. I think it would be an awful way to believe. Of course, everybody's entitled to their own beliefs, but I think it would be awful to believe that this was it. And when you died, that's the end. This is all you could do. You would never get a chance to make it better, to make amends. I think it would be an awful way to exist and to think like that. But, you know, people are entitled to think whatever they want. But, no, I've never found anyone who had gone to the spirit side when they died and who have not had a past life.
Let's talk about some of the past life.
Even people who don't even believe in this, don't believe in God, don't believe in anything, they still get their answers.
They do?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
So they don't have to believe in it. So this guy, we had a session with him. I think he'd be very surprised.
Would you put him under?
Well, I'd have a long talk with him. Let me give you an example, because you were going to go into that.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I had a man. He came with his girlfriend. His girlfriend was the one who wanted the session. This guy was a lawyer, very practical, very against anything like this. He only came along for support for his girlfriend. But while he was there, he said, oh, I don't know, why don't you do me too, just to see.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's going to happen. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe there was any such thing as reincarnation. When you die, you die. So I was kept thinking, this is going to be interesting. So we had the session with him. He goes through past life. I don't remember what it was, but it was a very normal past life. And when he dies, he goes to the spirit side. All these other spirits come out to meet him, and they're all excited and talking to him. Tell us what happened. What was this life like? You know, tell us what went on. And then another one come up. Remember me? We lived in this life way back this other time. You see, he got exactly what he needed for his belief system.
He
couldn't deny it after that, because he was all prepared to just make it up, and he couldn't.
Do you believe, though, in the hell concept, Dolores? Is that real?
There is no such thing as hell.
How about evil?
Evil is what people do. Everything is energy. They've told me many times, there is no bad, there is no good. There's just lessons, and what do you learn from the lessons? If you take the energy and use it in a negative way, you can call it evil, but that's people using it and doing it. That's what evil comes from.
The serial killer who dies, what happens to his soul?
Well, there's many different theories on this. It depends on how bad the murder is. But sometimes they have to go into what is called the spiritual hospital. There are a lot of places on the spirit side. The spiritual hospital is where they're worked on, and it takes a lot of very brave spirits to be able to do this, because it's very hard to turn these souls around. They're not allowed to come back to an earth life until they finally understand what they did. But an average murderer, when he dies and comes back, I've had many cases where the people have murdered each other in another life, and they come back to pay the karma back. It's not you killed me, so I kill you, because that just keeps the wheel of karma going. That's not the best way to do it. But suppose, with what they call the soft way, suppose you came back into a life and had to take care of your victim, and you could not have a normal life.
Hmm.
That's the soft way. You pay it back by sacrificing your life for another.
Well, is that what we call karma?
Yeah, it's repaying tons of karma is what it is. And I've had many cases of this. Husband and wife, they'll come in, or usually I had one with a mother and a daughter, and they said, we don't get along at all. You got to take my daughter in there and fix her. Find out what's going on. We cannot get along. And when I had the session, I found out from the daughter that they were husband and wife in another lifetime, and they'd killed the husband had killed her. And so they're coming back now to repay this. And the mother had been the husband, and so she's still carrying a lot of anger, and she's very hard to live with. Well, she's not getting it. She's not paying back the karma very well. But I have many cases of where somebody's killed each other in another lifetime, they come back in this lifetime to try to work it out and repay it.
Where do angels fit into this, Dolores?
They're the messengers.
So you believe in angels?
Oh, yes. We've had a lot of this. All of this stuff has come up. None of it is new. My curiosity, I always want to know everything. No, the angels are the messengers. It'd be very, very rare that any of them would ever incarnate in a body. They're here to take care of us and to help us if we need help. Because when you're born, you have what you want to call a guide or a guardian angel.
Assigned to us.
Yeah, assigned to you, whatever you want to call it. Some countries I've been to don't believe in the term guardian angels, but say a guide. It's assigned to you, and it must be with you your whole life. So you're never, ever alone. You don't know how many people I get that say, oh, I'm alone, there's nobody. You're never alone. So when you die, you're never alone. They're always with you. But any time in your life you need help, they're there to help you. Now, you can have deceased relatives or friends be a guide if they want to volunteer to do that. Otherwise, they are these ones that are assigned to you to help you all through your life. But a lot of times, angels will come just to give you a message, just to give you something you need or to help you in a difficult time. That's all they are. They're messengers.
Do they come in your dream state a lot?
They can, but sometimes they'll appear looking like a normal person. I've had many people talk about angels saving them. They might be in a car wreck or going to have a car wreck, and these people just appear. And then after the danger is over, they disappear. They're just gone out of the crowd or something. There's many stories of this.
You turn to thank the person, and he's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, he's gone. And they appear when they needed to help you, and then they're gone. So angels have a lot of very important jobs. But they can also deliver messages in dreams, if you want to think that way.
This is a vast universe, Dolores.
Oh, tell me about it.
There's so many things that are going on. What do you think to people who just aren't believers? What would shock them with all of this?
Well, sometimes I get skeptics at my lectures, but it's getting fewer and fewer. Now we have so many people believing in this and open, I don't get very many skeptics anymore. But if I do get one, I just listen to what they say, and I always say, I respect your beliefs. And then I just go on with what I'm talking about. It's no good to start an argument with them because they believe what they want to believe, and you can't make anybody believe anything. I present the information. If they take it, good. If they don't, that's their free will. Maybe someday it'll sink in, plant some seeds anyway.
Dolores, where do you get your book, The Convoluted Universe?
Where do I get book them? They're available everywhere.
The bookstores, you name it. Amazon?
All over the world. But also you can get them from our website if you want to. Amazon, they're available everywhere. All the bookstores have them, and if they don't, just tell them the title and they will order it.
All right, well, stay with us. More to talk with you about, Dolores. I want to get your take on things like the pyramids and why you think they were built and who may have made them. And then, of course, we'll be taking phone calls next hour with Dolores Cannon. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Dolores Cannon as we talk about other dimensions, the souls coming in, volunteers, as she calls them. We'll be back in a moment, though. More to come on Coast to Coast AM. Dolores Cannon with us. Dolores, do you think time travel will be possible?
Oh, it's already being experimented on. You know that.
Oh, sure.
You know, the government's been experimenting with it for many, many years. And, you know, there is the theory that a lot of these ETs that are coming are us in the future. And I've had cases of mm-hmm. that. See, it's not only just volunteers. We have ET, other cases that I've worked on. And sometimes they are us coming back from the future to see what's going on here.
Or to warn us?
Well, yeah, a lot of times it is to warn us. In one of my books, there was a case of that where we had destroyed the surface of the Earth and were living underneath the Earth in an ant farm type existence. And the idea was to come back and tell us, don't let this happen. Change the future. But a lot of times they just come back to see, like we would do if we were able to time travel. We'd probably go into the past just to look and see what things were like.
Well, that's true.
I know it's possible because, you know, there's no such thing as time anyway. The ETs have said, you know, it's all an illusion. Time is an illusion. ETs have said we're the only species in the universe has found a way to measure something that does not exist.
Dolores, Michael Cremo believes that humankind might be hundreds of millions of years old, not what present-day scientists think. What are mm-hmm. your thoughts on that and the kind of technology we might have had in the past? I mean, I'm still marveled by the pyramids, for example. I don't think we could build them today.
We couldn't. But like I said earlier, there have been many, many civilizations before ours. And of course, when they went down, there's not a trace left of them. And I have had people go back to these. The Atlantis was the last one, but there were many, many before that. And one of them was destroyed. See, all always happens with these scientists are messing around with things they're not supposed to be. And we had developed the minds to a tremendous capacity. In one of these civilizations, they burned a hole in the ozone layer. Now, doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah, it sure does.
And the sun came through and scorched the earth and killed everybody at that time. This is what one of the things that created the deserts in Africa. But there were times when we had tremendous civilizations, and many of them went down, and they're at the bottom of the ocean. Other ones are buried under mountains and piles of mud and dirt that we will never find any clue that they were ever there. So we have many, many times we have risen and fallen. Not just now, it does go back thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
Are you a fan of Edgar Cayce?
Uh-huh.
Hall of Records, do you think they exist?
Oh, I know they exist, and I know where they are.
Now, he said there were three of them, three halls of records. I'm going to find out where you think they are. But he said one was in Bimini, where Atlantis might have been, Central America, and at the base of the Sphinx. What do you say?
Well, what I've been told is at the Sphinx.
Okay.
No. And that they're underground cities, too. There's a whole civilization underground.
Near the Sphinx?
Well, the entrances to these civilizations are underneath pyramids all over the world. And, you know, there's many pyramids found everywhere.
Yes.
So the entrances are underneath the pyramids. But all of these things were put in before the pyramids and the Sphinx were put there. But, yeah, they said the Hall of Records is underneath the Sphinx. And I have a friend who has been down there many times, down into the caverns underneath the Sphinx, trying to help them define these places. Interesting thing is when they go down there, it's always full of water. But when she finally got down there this one time, the water wasn't there, and she was able to find doors and tunnels. So there's definitely things underneath the Sphinx. But that's where the Hall of Records is. But the information I have is that it's protected by an energy field. So only the right kind of a person will ever be able to find it and to go in and be able to read these things.
What might those Hall of Records possess?
They said they are the history of the world, the history of our beginnings, of mankind. Everything is in these records. Well, but they're written in a strange language, too, that would take a lot of deciphering because it's so old.
Would they talk about a god?
Well, they all believed in God. They've always believed in God.
Well, that's true, too.
The ETs are closer to God than we will ever be.
Do you think the ETs, though, are still trying to figure out how they were created?
Well, they know how they were created because they're one of the creators. I said they are closer to God than they will ever be because many of them don't consume food. They live off of light, and they have to take light baths to replenish the body. And I asked them, well, where does the light come from? He said it comes from the source. This is what they call God. They call God the source.
Interesting.
And without that, they would die.
The light, almost like a plant.
Well, it's absorbing light into the body. And many species live off of light. They don't consume. So a lot of the organs in the body have atrophied. This is why, you know, we see the body, we just see the way it looks after it has developed. Like they said, it could be us in the future, too, as we develop that way. And if our organs were to atrophy from not being used.
Dolores, I've always wondered what deja vu might be. You know how?
That's easy.
Is that a dimension cross or something?
Yeah, because, you know, all of these dimensions, we were talking about dimensions earlier. The past, present, and future are all existing at the same time. And, of course, the future is probable futures and possibilities. So there are many, many, many possible futures. But déjà vu is when you have the feeling, I've been there before, I've done this before. And in that instant, you have actually gone back to that time or forward to that time, wherever it exists. Because you just get a glimpse of it. And that's that feeling of, I've been here before, I've done this before.
How about the things like precognition and intuitiveness. Where does all that come from?
Well, that's our natural abilities that we were born with, but we didn't know how to develop them. All of these were very natural in these other civilizations, especially in Atlantis. That's, we know more about Atlantis than the other ones. We have these natural abilities that we developed to the maximum. We could do anything with our minds. And this is how they were able to levitate stone, they were able to mold stone. They did everything with the minds. So what you're talking about is that remnant that is still there. But when Atlantis went down, they said they had to, it was like blowing a fuse. They had to pull the plug so that we wouldn't had developed like that. We had to start all over again from the beginning in a primitive state. That's the problem when the civilization is destroyed. It has to start all over again. So that was shut off. But they said now is coming back, and it is there, and it's getting stronger in this time period. So the precognition, the intuitive, the psychic abilities are our natural abilities that are being allowed to come back. I see it happening all over the world where I go, people are becoming more psychic. They're getting these abilities back.
People are also uptight, Dolores. Have you sensed that?
No, I don't sense that at all.
Oh, my gosh. It's everywhere.
Oh, everywhere I go, the people are so wonderful. They're happy. You wouldn't believe it.
I got to start following you around.
I just came back from Turkey, which was a Muslim country, and the people were wonderful.
Did you look at the Göbekli Tepe, that ancient site, at all?
I was in Istanbul.
Okay. That's a ways from that.
Yeah, and I've been in Ephesus, but that's the coast.
What do they want? What are folks in other lands want to know about the paranormal, the supernatural?
Boy, they're really getting it. They're excited about all of this. But, you know, I always told people, if you traveled more, there wouldn't be the wars, there wouldn't be the violence. You'd find out everybody everywhere is just like us. They are not different. Everybody wants a good job to take care of their family, and they don't want wars. They just want the same things we want. So now, though, they're beginning to open up to these things, and they're very interested in the paranormal, the metaphysics. They're very enlightened, because I said I go to China a lot. Last year I was there three times. And I was really surprised. You know, the government tells us all these things about these countries. And I said, you go there and you see for yourself. It's not at all what they tell you it is. Because China, golly, they're happy, they're advanced, they're running around in brand new cars, fancy clothes, and they are really into this metaphysics. They get it. And the same way within Turkey, it was a Muslim country.
Sure.
But they understood this, and they wanted more. They wanted more information.
What do you see that is happening with the world right now?
With the what?
With the world that needs to be changed. Anything?
I don't think anything needs to be changed. These people are very happy. This is why I want people to ask more questions. Explore, you know, try to get the information firsthand. Don't believe the propaganda we've been handed down. For instance, I had a client last month. I have clients that come to see me from all over the world.
Okay.
I had a client come from Africa. I've been to Johannesburg, but that's the only place, South Africa. This man came from Cameroon, and I was telling me about that. And he said, highly advanced, big cities, they have cars, they're one of the richest countries in Africa. And I said, well, all we hear about is those that are starving and having the wars and the refugees. He said, those are little pockets of people. The majority of Africa are very much like we are. Now, see, that's propaganda.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
It sure is. Well, you know, it all comes down to, you know, the Illuminati, the elitists who want to control everything.
Well, I say go and see for yourself. You'll find out. Russia wasn't at all what I thought, what they had led us to believe. And I've been over there many times now. It was four times in 1 year. And they have just now got their freedom back, and they're a little pushy, but they're happy anyway because they have all the modern conveniences. You know, they seem a lot happier than we think.
End times.
So go and find out for yourself, anyway.
What's your take on the apocalypse, end time prophecy?
There was, oh my gosh.
No,
didn't we get enough of that last year when the world was supposed to end on December 21st?
Well, we knew it wasn't, but I still think there's going to be some solar event eventually. But so you don't believe in end times?
Not really, no. You know, I wrote those three books on Nostradamus,
yeah.
And he said it depends on what man does. The decisions people make is what determines what things are going to happen. But all my life I've been hearing about the end of the world is going to happen on this date and that date.
Every civilization talks about it, Dolores.
And it never happened yet.
Not yet.
Well, December 21st.
Knock on wood, by the way.
Look how long that was talked about. 5 years before. Oh, the world's going to end on December 21st, and it's been going on and on, Mayan calendar and all that. And I kept lecturing all over the world and saying it was not going to happen. Well, the December the 21st, I was in London. We had a premiere of a movie that I was in called Three Magic Words. And we did it specifically on that day when everybody says we're going to ascend, we're going to the end.
That was from Anderson's book, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I told them during the conference, even my show before I went down over there, the rest of you can sit home with your head under the covers. We're going to party. And we did. He had the movie premiere. We had a party, and it was a wonderful time, and the world did not end. So it's always fear, fear, fear.
All right, let's get back to these other dimensions before we take phone calls again.
Okay, let's you were wanting to know about the pyramids, too.
Yeah, but let's do a quick review.
Okay.
You say that there are hundreds of other dimensions
yes.
that are out there, and each one is individual? It stands on its own?
Well, they blend together. You can't draw a line and say this is this. Now, what they're talking about when the world is ascending into the new Earth, that's a bigger dimension. We are in the third dimension right now, and fourth dimension is time, so they skip that one, and they go direct to the fifth dimension. Well, we are already getting into the fifth dimension, but this is different than the other dimensions I was speaking about. Those are larger ones. I guess if you can break it down, there are many of these other smaller ones that are constantly moving and blending and shifting. So the world is not that simple that you can, the universe really, that you can draw a line saying here, here, and here. Everything is moving and melding and together all the time.
Well, I'm fascinated at the possibility that people could stumble into these other dimensions and probably not even know it.
Yeah.
You know, feel wandering around, lost.
Those are rare cases.
What if they can't come back?
Well, the Bermuda Triangle is a perfect example.
I mean, some people disappear. We have hundreds of thousands of people on this planet disappear, and nobody knows where they are.
They went into another dimension.
They might have, huh?
They very well could have.
And they can't get back.
That's the problem. That was the problem with the Bermuda Triangle. Now, I can explain the Bermuda Triangle to you, too, if you want me to do that.
And what do you think that is?
I know what it is. See, that was where Atlantis was. Now, Atlantis took up the whole world at that time. It was not just an island out in the middle of the Atlantic. That's where the main part was. But where the Bermuda Triangle was, that was part of Atlantis. And they knew how to time travel. They had perfected it. They knew how to go back and forth between dimensions. And they had a temple there in that part that where they did these experiments. And they could time travel. Well, when Atlantis went down, that temple was damaged. And if you could get the mental image of like a mirror, it wasn't a mirror, but something like that, that was damaged and was still moving and functioning to a certain degree. And every once in a while, it would flash upward toward the surface of the ocean. And anybody happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time would be sent into another place in time, because that was time travel. So they can't get back. They're stuck there in that other time. Does that make sense to
you? Yeah, it sure does.
It's the malfunction of a machine that was damaged when Atlantis went down.
Pyramids. Why were they made?
They're used by the ETs, but they were made by the survivors of Atlantis because they didn't all go down at the same time. There were some that left, and they took their scrolls and their history and their abilities with them. And when they landed there, they were able to still use the mind abilities of how to levitate stone, how to mold stone. Like if you go to Peru, you in Cusco, places like that, you can see how the stones are molded to fit together perfectly. They had these abilities. They couldn't teach a lot of the natives because they weren't that developed yet. But a lot of the ETs did help with the building of the pyramids because they are definitely connected to the stars. And there's a whole lot to that. There's a lot of the places on Earth are connected with ETs, too, and the stars. But the part about the King's Chamber and all of that, it does have to do with the light coming down and pointing in a certain direction. These were markers. They're so big they could be seen from outer space so that the ETs would know how to come in and land.
Could they have been energy sources as well?
Well, you know, it's interesting. My daughter was there last year. I went on to Rome, and she went to see the pyramids, and we met up again in Rome. She said when she was inside of it, she had this strange feeling like she was inside of a machine. And that's very possible that's what it was. Well, there was something else interesting that she found. Have you ever been to the pyramids?
I have not. I have to do that.
Well, I haven't been yet, but she found something even more interesting that nobody talks about.
What's that?
Right next to the pyramids is a small museum where they have what they call solar boats. Interesting, they call them solar boats.
Solar boats.
Yes, and they're boats. And this is a desert. But these are made, she said, they had one that they have reconstructed. The other ones are there, and they're being held down by gigantic boulders.
Hold on, Dolores. Let's talk a little bit about that. You can explain it more, and we'll take phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.